Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
So weird, I tell you. Okay, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, thank you so very much. Hello. Thank you so very much to Brother Hasib and also Kareem Hamid. Thank you so very much for letting me know. You know, we do this sometimes as being radio hosts. Anyway, my phone is off mute right now, so I'm going to start all over from the beginning and say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, assalamu alaikum, and thank you for tuning in to The Lives of the Prophets, which is really the stories of the prophets by Ibn Kathir. You know, as here on American Muslim 360, we haven't done the stories of the prophets during the month of Ramadan, because Ramadan was basically focused on the Jews. So before Ramadan, we have done Prophet Adam, Prophet Idris or Enoch, Prophet Noah, Prophet Hud, Prophet Salih, and Prophet Ibrahim. And that's where we're at now, Prophet Ibrahim. And in doing Prophet Ibrahim, last week we had a discussion about Prophet Ibrahim. And we found out that, you know, when he was a young man, he was sensible. He had some sensible ideas. And we also found out last week that his father was an idol maker. He was a sculptor. He sculpted idols. And so as a young man, you know, Abraham, he would play with the idols, you know, jump on the idols and play with them. And father, you know, had a big attitude about it. He's like, oh, he's doing that. You don't do my idols. This is God. And, you know, Abraham was like, ah, you know, you call this God? You know, look at his head. You know, he can't even do anything. You know, what are you talking about? As a young man, he came to that conclusion. But the father was dead serious about it. You know, don't be playing around with these gods like that. And because the other thing we found out that he was a sculptor of gods. I mean, he was selling them. He was selling these idols that he was making. So Abraham was messing around with his money. So that's why the father is like. But as Abraham got older, he started to see that his father was, you know, dead serious about it, and that the people were dead serious about this. And so, you know, being the sensible young man that, you know, like Allah had blessed him to be, you know, I mean, he hadn't even found out who Allah was at that time. It was just, he was just being sensible. You know, he started, you know, doing things, and, you know, he started speaking to people. You know, how are you going to say that this is a God when, you know, this thing can't even speak? Well, how are you going to say this is a God when, you know, I see my father make these things out of wood, not of stone. So how are you going to, and the people was like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. This is what we saw our forefathers making. You know, this is what our forefathers worship, and that's what we're going to worship. So, you know, then it came to that time when he devised, you know, that first of all, the people, the idolaters, was pissed off at him because he was presenting a logical argument to them, and they was like, look, man, you know, don't come to us. And most of the time with people, even today, when you present the logical argument to them and they don't have an answer, you know, they want to get violent or they start hating. And, you know, these diseases start coming out of their heart and they want to, you know, do some other things. Why? Because they want to stick to their belief and they don't want to change their mind because they realize that they're being questioned and the truth comes to them and they refuse to accept it. So, you know, then they want to get violent. So basically, then, you know, they were making Abraham just, you know, Abraham a little uncomfortable. So he said, okay, I'm going to fix him. So there was a festival that was supposed to go on and was on the other side of the river that all the people went to. And while all the people was going, he went in the temple and, you know, he smashed all the gods. He smashed all the gods and left the biggest god up and then put the axe around the biggest god's, you know, neck. And so when the people came back, they said, oh, you know, gods has been smashed. Yeah. You know, look at what he's done to us. Somebody has done something to our gods. You know, it was a young man who had talked about our gods. You know, let's get him in there. And so they got Abraham in there. Hey, yo, who did this to our gods? And Abraham, you know, you see the biggest god, yeah, with the axe around his neck. He said, look, why don't you ask him? Why don't you ask him who did it? He got the axe around his neck. You know, ask him. That's what that's the biggest God right there. And, you know, the Quran tells us that, you know, they say, no, you know our gods can't speak. And he said, exactly. Exactly. You know, and so, you know, like, this is where he gained followers because then people started to doubt, you know, these gods that they were working in. And so, you know, people started to follow Abraham or Ibrahim. They started to. So that was, you know, one of the ideas that we had about Prophet Abraham. And then the other part was that he really tried to convince his father that what he was doing was wrong. And his father was, look, you know, if you don't get out of my face with that foolishness, you know, I'm going to have some problems with you and I'm going to go ahead and beat you. The father would not. You know, just would not, you know, go to Abraham or Abraham's way because, you know, the Quran tells us how Abraham had, you know, saw the sun and the moon and saw that they set, and he came to the conclusion that, you know, all these things that we worship, you know, that Allah or you know, my Lord, the Creator, is the one who created all of this. And he shared that with his father, and his father still refused to believe it. But we know we got situations like that today that people, you know, just they just won't give up on their money. They won't, man. They got money. They got position. It's like, and the father was like, yo, I'm not giving up on this. This is what it is. This is what I'm doing. This is what my forefathers are doing. And if you don't get away from me, man, you know, you're going to have some problems. So Abraham decided that, you know, it would be best for him to leave. So he left. And when he left, and then he went someplace, and when he went to that place, what ended up happening is that, you know, he went to this, I think it was Nimrod. He went to Nimrod, the land that Nimrod was. And while he was being in the land of Nimrod, he was, you know, preaching about the oneness of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And as such, you know, they said, well, look, we're gonna put him in the fire. We're gonna burn him. And they tried putting him in the fire, and in the process of putting him in the fire, you know, that didn't work. You know, that didn't work. So because that didn't work, because Allah made the angels, made the fire cool. You know these things, that, you know, he made the fire cool, and they burnt the rope. That this is what's, you know, it sounds, it doesn't follow a logical pattern. You know, because it says that they put him in this burning fire, and the ropes burned, and Abraham winded up walking out of the fire unscathed and unburnt. And with that, he got more followers because of that. You know, this was amazing. You know. But, you know, this was a time when people were not only worshiping idols, but celestial bodies, you know, like the sun, the moon, the stars, and, you know, all that. And Surah 41:37 says, in the Quran says, and from among his signs are the night and the day and the sun and the moon. Prostrate not to the sun nor the moon, but prostrate to Allah who created them if you really want to worship Allah. So Abraham's reasoning helped to reveal the truth, and that is when conflict between him and his people began. Abraham, again, he tries to, you know, every place he went, you know, he tried to reason with the, you know, idolaters. He winded up leaving and going to Egypt, I believe it was. Let me see. So I'm trying to get to the story. Okay, because then the situation took place where it says Abraham's fame spread throughout the entire kingdom. People talked about how he had been saved from the blazing fire and how he had debated with the king and left him speechless. And in the meantime, Abraham, this is from the stories of the prophets, Abraham continued calling people to believe in Allah, exerting a great effort to guide his people to the right path. He tried every means to convince them. However, in spite of his love and care for his people, they felt angry and deserted him. Only one woman and one man of his people shared his belief in Allah. The woman's name was Sarah, and she became his wife. The man's name was Lot, and he became a prophet. That's what it says, but, you know, I was also given the impression in other places, right, where Lot was actually his nephew. When Abraham realized that no one else was going to believe in his call, he decided to emigrate. He left his people and traveled with his wife and Lot to a city called Ur, then another called Haran, and then to Palestine. Almighty Allah says in Surah 29, verse 26, so Lot believed in him. Okay, look, Lot believed in him, Abraham's message of Islamic monotheism. He, Abraham, said, I will emigrate for the sake of my Lord. Verily, he is the Almighty, the All-Wise. After Palestine, Abraham traveled to Egypt, calling people to believe in Allah wherever he traveled, judging fairly between people and guiding them to truth and righteousness. These about Abraham, Sarah, and Hajar. Abu Huraira narrated that Abraham did not tell a lie except on three occasions, twice for the sake of Allah, when he said, I am sick, when his people were holding a festival in honor of their gods. Abraham excused himself by saying he was sick. And that, they say this in chapter 37, verse 89. And when he said, I have not done this, but the big idols have done it, that was the second time he lied. When he said, I have not done this, the big idols had did it. And then the third time was while Abraham and Sarah were going on a journey, they passed by a territory of a tyrant. Someone said to the tyrant, this man, Abraham, is accompanied by a very charming lady. So he sent for Abraham and asked him about Sarah, saying, who is this lady? Abraham said, she is my sister. Abraham went to Sarah and said, Sarah, there are no believers on the surface of the earth except you and me. This man asked me about you, and I told him that you were my sister. Do not contradict my statement. The tyrant then called Sarah, and when she went to him, he tried to take a hold of her with his hand, but his hand got stiff, and he was confounded. He asked Sarah, pray to Allah for me, and I shall not harm you. So this sounds weird to me. Well, he was a tyrant. So he was a tyrant, but this, what, that says that he didn't believe in Allah, that he believed in Allah? I mean, this is what the story is saying. This is not what the story said, but this is the question I'm asking. So they say that the man was a tyrant, and he asked Sarah, this is the story, he asked Sarah, pray to Allah for me, and I shall not harm you. So Sarah asked Allah to cure him, and he got cured. He tried to take hold of her for a second time, but his hand got stiff or stiffer than before, and he was made confounded. He again requested, Sarah, pray to Allah for me, and I will not harm you. Sarah asked Allah to again, and he became all right. He then called one of his guards who had brought her and said, you have not brought me a human being, but you have brought me a devil. This is the story. I'm just saying what the story says. But we should take it with a grain of salt. So, you know. The tyrant then gave Hajar as a handmaid, as a maidservant to Sarah. Abraham, gesturing with his hand, asked, what has happened? Sarah replied, Allah has spoiled the evil plot of the infidel. You see? Or immoral person, and gave me Hajar for service. So in one, you know, there's conflicts here, brothers and sisters. Pray to Allah for me, and I will not harm you. So it says that the tyrant or the infidel was a believer in Allah. The tyrant was a believer in Allah, and he said he would not harm her. Sarah asked Allah again, and he became all right. He then called one of the guards who brought her and said, you have not brought me a human being, but you have brought me a devil. The tyrant then gave Hajar as a maidservant to Sarah. Abraham, gesturing with his hand, asked, what has happened? Sarah replied, Allah has spoiled the evil plot of the infidel or immoral person and gave me Hajar for service. Allah knows, and we do not. We're just reading the story. Take it with a grain of salt. Abu Huraira, this is a hadith, then addressed his listeners saying that Hajar was your mother, O Bani Ma Isama Arab, the descendant of Ishmael, Hajar's son. Abu Huraira then addressed his listeners saying that Hajar was your mother, O Bani Ma. I'm not sure where that goes. Anyway, we shall proceed. Hajar and Sarah. Abraham's wife Sarah was sterile. She had been given an Egyptian woman, Hajar, as a servant. Abraham had aged and his hair was gray, and after many years spent in calling people to Allah, Sarah thought she and Abraham were lonely because she could not have a child. Therefore, she offered her husband, her servant, Hajar, in marriage. Hajar gave birth to her first son, Ishmael, when Abraham was an old man. Abraham christens, so then we go into another subject. Abraham questions resurrection. Abraham lived on earth worshiping Allah and calling people to monotheism, but he was journeying to Allah, knowing that his days on earth were limited and that they would be followed by death and finally resurrection. The knowledge of life after death filled Abraham with peace and love and certitude. One day he begged Allah to show him how he brought the dead back to life. Allah commanded Abraham to take four birds, the famous four birds, cut them up and mingle their body parts, divide them into four portions, and place them on top of four different hills. Then call back the birds in Allah's name. Abraham did as he was told. Immediately, the mingled parts of the birds separated to join their original bodies in different places, and the birds flew back to Abraham. Almighty Allah revealed. This is what the story says, and I say take it with a grain of salt. We know that some of that is we know something about the four birds. Remember when Abraham said, "My Lord, show me how you give life to the dead." Abraham said, do you not believe? Abraham said, "Yes, I believe, but to be strong in faith." He said, "Take four birds, the cause them to incline towards you, then." And then in parentheses, it says, then slaughter them, cut them into pieces. So that's the added part. That's the, when you see the parentheses, that's the part that's added in by the one who is doing the interpretation of the Quran. So he said, take four birds to cause them to incline towards you, and then put a portion of them on each hill and call them. They will come to you in haste and know that Allah is almighty and all wise. So, you know, even if you just take four birds as whole pieces and put them on four different mountains and, you know, four birds that you, you know, have trained, you know, and put them on separate mountains and then call them, they should all come back to you. That is the example that Allah is giving, I believe, that Allah is giving because, you know, like, look, they know the caller. And, you know, if the caller calls them, they're going to come. Okay. So basically, I think that's the end of Prophet Ibrahim. That's as far as it goes, as far as Prophet Ibrahim is concerned. This is what we are addressing and dealing with today, though. What we're going to do is it's 8:25, and we're going to go on and play a PSA. You're listening to American Muslim 360. This here is a Tuesday morning programming, and this is so very weird. Oh, that's why, because I have the intro. Okay, so I have to do a show all. And so we're going to do the show all, and we're going to play a a PSA. Let's see which one. Well, what we want to do, we're going to play Omar Shakir because he does a Sunday program. I don't know if he did it this Sunday. You know, Ramadan has just, we just finished the month of Ramadan, and I know that he didn't do it last Sunday because, you know, we were celebrating the Eid. So what we're going to do is we're going to play the promo for the first Sunday in Omar Shakir.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we all explain its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month, where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, so then the first Sunday will be this Sunday coming up that Imam Omar Shakir will be back on. And also, this is another PSA that we're going to play regarding the first week of the month only, AM360 host meetings.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Kareem Hamid, radio station manager for American Muslim 360 Radio, inviting all hosts to the upcoming host meeting scheduled this Saturday from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, so that's a PSA about a host meeting that's supposed to take place this Saturday. This is the first week, and so this is the first week of the month. So that's going to be important also. I'm going to also play this PSA. This is about community development mental stages. Our sister Martha Nala Williams.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Nyla Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
Okay, and this here is a promo for one of our sponsors, Muhammad Sharif, who's a listener, and also I know that he's been in the community for a long time, and he has sponsored a commercial on American Muslim 360, so let's hear that.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain of Nation is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports the healthy immune system. Give the body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Cereal Conference and AM360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
All praises due to Allah. We are so very thankful to Muhammad Sharif, and we pray that Allah will to bless you and that you continue to sponsor your business right here on American Muslim 360. I'm going to play another. PSA, and this PSA is important because I just want you to know that our sister Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz was on the Mosque Cares. I happened to tune in, and she was on the Mosque Cares broadcast, which is big. Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless her. You know, she's doing great work here on American Muslim 360 and the things that she's doing. Her program is on tomorrow evening. But let's play her PSA.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. CWSC is inspired by the visionary leadership of the late Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alay, and his proposition that our communities need a studious group of persons, or an intelligentsia, studying our history and circumstances and envisioning a brighter future for succeeding generations to live better in America. In 1999, an important step was taken to fulfill the shared vision of structuring an intelligentsia with a national think tank capable of serving first our community and then eventually national and global interests. We welcome you to American Muslim 360 listenership. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so very much. That's Ben Mushir Bilal in the background. I just want to mention something that we as a community have to always stay conscious of, and that is idolatry. I think it's kind of important that we kind of remember that. And sometimes, with Abraham, we were just talking about, how Abraham had, done some things as far as idols, and that, people that his very father was so close to idolatry, he was a sculptor of idols, and he sold idols, and so it was difficult for him to give up because, he just got caught up. He was making, that was his money. You're talking against my money, Abraham. We have situations like that today. Now, it's not necessarily because, somebody in your family is sculpting idols, but there are other ways that idolatry is actually creeping into the society. Before I do that, though, we're going to mention some various hadiths describing the origins of idolatry. Ibn Abbas explained, following upon the death of those righteous men, Shaitan inspired their people to erect statues in the places where they used to sit. So Shaitan, see what Shaitan is doing? Following upon the death of those righteous men, Shaitan inspired their people to erect statues in the places where they used to sit. They did this, but those statues were not worshipped until the coming generations deviated from the right way of life. Then they worshipped them as their idols. So we have to be very careful as Muslims that we don't allow Shaitan to influence us to erect statues in the places where they used to sit. In his version, Ibn Jarrah narrated, there were righteous people who lived in the period between Adam and Noah and who had followers who held them as models. After their death, their friends who used to emulate them said, if we make statues of them, it will be more pleasing to us in our worship and will remind us of them. So they built statues of them. And after they had died and others came after them, Iblis crept into their minds saying, your forefathers used to worship them, and through their worship, they got rain. So they worshiped them. So now we have circumstances and situations today. I'm going to name a couple. It's unfortunate that, this is something that you know. I'm not telling you something that you don't know. But we know about the raising of statues, pictures of Jesus on the cross. We know that. May Allah bless Prophet Jesus and grant him the paradise for the good work that he did. He was the word that Allah allowed to come onto, the earth. After he died, that's when, we got to erect statues of him. Then they changed the color of his skin. Because They wanted a relationship. They wanted Jesus to look like them. Now, it doesn't matter that he was born in the Middle East and that he wasn't born in Europe, but, you know, I like Jesus. I love Jesus. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Son of God. So they made statues. The Virgin Mary. Where's the Virgin? They changed her color too. They made pictures. Stained glass windows. They made him on a cross and put him around his neck, on their necks. Banners. Booklets with all kinds of pictures in it. Yeah, that's Jesus. And then they showed that to their children. Yeah, that's Jesus. So after, you know, this is generations after Jesus. After Jesus was alive. This was generations after. Well, now, you know, I'm going to go ahead, man, and, you know, I'm going to go ahead and color Jesus in the same way that I'm colored, you know. That's what I'm saying, that Ibn Jarrah narrated, there were righteous people who lived in the period between Adam and Noah and who had followers who held them as models. After their death, their friends who used to emulate them said, if we make banners of them, if we make books of them, if we make pictures of them, I added that part about banners and pictures and things, it will be more pleasing to us in our worship and will remind us of them. So they built statues of them, or pictures, and after they had died and others came after them, generations come after them, Iblis crept into their mind saying, your forefathers used to worship them. Not your first forefathers used to emulate them, but your forefathers used to worship them. And through that worship, and if you do that, you know, you'll get money. And that's what they'll say today. But at that time it was, your forefathers used to worship them, and through that worship, they got rain. Rain was important at that time because it would rain on their crops and so wimpy. If it would rain on the country, praise Jesus. They were going through all that. But what happened today? Praise God today. You know, we got money today. They erect statues of Martin Luther King. I don't think there's any worship. But, you know, they do have the worship of the church of Beyonce. Did you know that? That Beyonce had a church? Google it. Google the church of Beyonce. That's real. We also have to be careful with our own vanities. Vanity of vanities. Vanities of vanities, saith the preachers. All is vanity, is a chasing after wind. Look, I saw some young ladies who grew up in the Clara Muhammad School that had a camera in front of her face, a phone camera in front of her face, just posing all kinds of ways, her face all made up. I've seen this a few times. Face made up with makeup, posing for the camera, totally in love with herself. That's what it looked like to me. We have to be careful about that. We have to be careful about that. We have to be careful about that. We have to be careful about being arrogant. We have to be careful about that. This is how Shaitan creeps into the hearts and minds of the human being. And I'm just saying that, you know, look, this is real today. Isn't it real? Yes, this is real today. So there's another story that Ibn Abi Atim wrote, and this was about a man whose name was Wadan. Wadan was a righteous man who loved his people. When he died, they withdrew to his grave in the land of Babylonia and were overwhelmed by sadness. When Iblis saw their sorrow caused by his death, he disguised himself in the form of a man, saying, I have seen your sorrow because of this man's death. Can I make a statue like him which could be put in your meeting places to make you remember him? They said, yes, make the statue so that we will remember. So he made the statue like him. They put him in their meeting place in order to be reminded of him. When Iblis saw their interest in remembering him, he said, "Can I build a statue of him in your home, of each one of you, so that he would be in everyone's house and you could remember him?" They agreed. Now, this was a good man, and these were people who emulated them. But their children learned about this and saw what they were doing. They also learned about their remembrance of him instead of Allah. So the first to be worshipped instead of Allah was Wadan, the idol which they named thus. And this idea about Wadan has a his name means something in Arabic. I forgot what it means. The essence of this point is that every idol from those earlier mentions were worshipped by a certain group of people. It was mentioned that people made picture sands as the ages passed them, made them pictures into statues so that their forms could be fully recognized, after which they were worshipped instead of Allah. And this is what we have to be careful of. We have to be careful. You know, we have to be very careful about not pulling back, especially from this upload life, from the internet, from social media. We've got to be able to pull back from social media, especially at the times of prayer. You know, the most powerful weapon that we have against idolatry is prayer. That's the most powerful weapon that we have against idolatry. Making your prayer on time, 5 times a day, make the world stop and bring to the bottom what's on top. Worshipping, this is a commentary on idolatry. Worshipping anything other than Allah is a tragedy that results not only in the loss of freedom, its serious effect reaches man's mind and destroys it as well. Allah, Almighty Allah, created man and his mind with his purpose set on achieving knowledge, the most important of which is that Allah alone is the creator and all the rest are worshipers. Therefore, disbelief in Allah or polytheism, having a hard time with that word, resulting in the loss of freedom, the destruction of the mind, and the absence of the noble talking in life. By worshiping anything other than Allah, man becomes enslaved to Satan, who is himself a creature and becomes harnessed to his own base of desires. Oh boy, into this environment, Allah sent Noah with his messenger to his people. And this is why, Allah has always had to send messengers to the people, because human beings go off track. Human beings go off track. That's just the way we are. We go off track. And when I'm saying we, I'm not only talking about Muslims. I'm talking about human beings all over the world go off track. Okay? And this is something that you can see that. I mean, look where we are today as far as young people with guns, you know, just kill people. You know, it's like it ain't nothing, and then they got to go ahead and spend the rest of their life in jail because there's a lot to it because of the social construction that has allowed guns to come into the neighborhoods where, you know, young men can't get jobs, so you know they wind up using guns to steal and rob, sell drugs in the community, all kinds of things like that. And then these young men, you know, have to, you know, police come in and bust them. Oh, you got guns. Oh, you got drugs. Oh, come on, let's go. And most of them are men, some women. But I'm just talking about some things that we have experienced in our life that goes on in our communities. So those are the. Then we have this whole idea that has infiltrated into the schools by way of law. This whole first it starts off LGBT. First it started off as gay, then it's L lesbians, bisexual, gay, T, Q. And then they have, you know, other parts too. But this whole, now you have men who dress up as women and they say that they're transgender. They're transgender, but they're really men that are putting on women disguises and claiming to be women. And they're using the law to say that it's okay. That the law says that it's okay, so it's okay. Not a law says it's okay, but the laws of the United States say it's okay. And I'm not talking against this is what it is. So this is what's happening. I mean, I'm not telling you something that you don't know. I'm telling you that there are laws on the book that allow that. And I'm telling you in a job that I previously worked at that you could be born on your birth certificate. It will say that you're born one way and that you can actually change the gender on your birth certificate. But, you know, this was when, you know, gay people wanted to be recognized as females, or males wanted to be recognized as males, that they had to go to a doctor and have surgery done and also take supplements that they were under doctor's care. And doctors would have to write them a letter on doctor's letterhead, and they could bring it to the passports. And if the letter was found to be legitimate, they could have their passport that had male on it changed to female, even though their birth certificate they could have their birth certificate changed from male to female or from female to male, if a doctor said that it was okay. I'm telling you from experience. I'm telling you from one who has worked in that field what the government has allowed. And now it's even worse. Now you just can, I don't want you to call me, I'm not a he, I want you to address me as a she. And policy says that if you want to work in this job of education, if you want to work in this government job, if you want to work in this industry, you have to conform to that. I'm not telling you something that you don't know, but I'm telling you that this is idolatry, that they're trying to get us to go along with. So it hasn't changed. The lives of the prophets, the stories of the prophets continue. Only is today you're the prophet. Me and you are the prophets. We are the ones that are bringing the message. We are the ones that are bringing the message. That is our responsibility today, to deliver the message clear, to live the life of the Muslim, to live the life, propagate and spread it. Allahu Akbar, we follow the Mujaddid, the one who revives and renews. The religions of the world have been abused. Help all good people, though they give you no credit. Allahu Akbar, we follow the Mujaddid who can talk to the woman, talk to the man. He talked so plain a child could understand. He talked all day or just for a minute. We listened because we knew he had the jewels wrapped in it. Imam W.D. Muhammad. Now, they didn't want us calling him no Mujaddid. Oh, he's not just Machete. These were people who was our international brothers and sisters. They were the ones who complained about it. We didn't complain about it because we knew that he had renewed. He brought a renewed life to the Muslims. That's what he did. And so we have to recognize him. We just have to recognize that we are the ones now that are the prophets. And I don't even want to use the word prophet because we are not, but we're standing in the seat of the prophets in today's time. There's no other message. Our prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he was the last message. He brought the last message, and the last message is Al-Quran. And if we follow Al-Quran and deliver that message and live that message that is in Al-Quran and follow the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we follow that, and it's a powerful sunnah. And some of these things, we're reading from the stories of the prophets. We're reading from the stories of the prophets, but in the process of reading from the story of the prophets, we know that there's some of those things we have to take with a grain of salt because we don't understand it all. But we got a good message out there. Anyway, I got a couple of minutes left in the program, and if anybody wants to come on and say something, I got a couple of minutes for you, come in and say something if you want to. But in the meantime, I wanted to say that listen online at AmericanMuslim360.org and 24-hour live streaming, 701-719-4197. Live audience, call in to the studio at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Email us at info@cwsc.us. Tweet at CWSure. That's on Twitter. And like us on Facebook, Community-Wide Shura Conference. Visit American Muslim 360's parent corporation, Community-Wide Shura Conference at cwsc.us or leave a listener pro comment at 910-317-0297. You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected, and we're opening a microphone of 727-741. Assalamu alaikum. Your microphone is open. You're on the air.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum to you again, too. Martha Naila Abdullah here calling.
Yes.
I know the numbers changed.
Yeah.
I know.
Thank you.
Thank you. And with this, 30-second pitch, let me say this. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you. No, don't go away. I'm saying that thing. I don't want to miss out on the process that you have going on, loving that. Realization of how we can go into that idolatry without knowing, and
mm-hmm.
how easy it is in. It becomes a part of the, you sit the a menu, and then you sit down at the table to dine, and then you realize, wow, I'm dining on this. And when
exactly.
we just finished dining on the Quran, and we're still dining on it. So now I'm sitting out here at my mother's in Pompano Beach, Florida. That's the pitch I wanted to do, in Florida, and it is beautiful. Praise be to Allah, but to listen to you, have the Quran here, and going through the Bible and studying that, too, for education's sake.
Yes.
But thank you.
Yes.
May Allah continue to bless you here and all that you do. I'm New Day for Al-Islam and on AM 360. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah for you, my sister. May Allah continue to bless you with good works, and also the staff that are working with you, Kareem Hamid, Latifa Hamid, and all of the hosts that are on American Muslim 360. May Allah continue to bless us. We are the ones that have the responsibility to be the Muslim, to deliver the message clear. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Sister Martha.
Ameen. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And that reminds me, I got a couple of minutes left, so let me say this, that at 10 o'clock, I'm doing a show on A New Day for Al-Islam Community Radio, and the name of the show is Why Muslim Americans Don't Want to Get Married. This is a problem in the country, and it's a problem for a lot of reasons. So I'm going to tell you right now, Hawa has gotten off track. That's all I'll say. Hawa has gotten off track. And that's the question. Oh, Hawa, how have you gotten off track? How have you gotten off track, Hawa? And we really need to discuss that, because there are so many influences that are in, you know, this American culture that we're dealing with, man. So I invite you to tune in to A New Day for Our Islam Community Radio on today, 515-605-9326, 515-605-9326. And, you know, join me for Why Muslim Americans Don't Want to Get Married. As a matter of fact, A New Day for Our Islam Community Radio is on 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thank you so very much, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. I really thank you for tuning in and being on, being with us. And we look forward to being with you next week, when we will talk about Prophet Ishmael, which is the seventh prophet in this series. So until next time, you know, we give you the greetings of peace. And play this PSA.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dafrita Hadi, director of the CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory and host of Al Islam in Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360 Islamic Radio Station, asking you to join me Saturday evening, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, to share stimulating Islamic information and insight as we unite our spiritual and intellectual perceptions and cultivate our human existence together. Inshallah, I will hear you at the lab. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.